Scripture say in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he said this. He said, for Christ is also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Christ did it in our stead. Notice all, Isaiah chapter 53, I think 9 times, you'll find a substitute for us. Let's go a little further. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even die, dare to die, but God commendeth his love toward us, while we were yet sinners, unacceptable in the sight of God, Christ died for us. He was acceptable. We had nothing to sacrifice. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 5, I looked and there's none to help, I wondered and there's none to uphold, therefore my own right arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury had upheld me. God's justice was upheld in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, you got one just that offers himself in the stead of the unjust. He held the law of God, died in our stead, completely justified in the sight of God, acceptable. And by that sacrifice, we who were once unacceptable, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Amen. Yes, sir.
By my works? No, I've already told you what I am by works. I'm referring to the grace of God, what I am in him. And if I'm accepted in heaven, it'll only be because of what he done. That's the reason we can say that when we get to heaven, each one, each child of God, each elect child, each one of the promised, no matter where they end their life or where their life is, we'll all be equal while we're there for the same reason.
That's right.
Whether it's a child of God that's having a difficult time with wine, whether it's a difficult time with adultery, and I'm not commending these things, they're ungodly, but children of God sometimes get involved in them. If their life ends there and my life ends in the pulpit preaching the Lord's gospel, when we get to heaven, we'll be there for the same reason.
That's right.
Because in nature, not one's better than the other.
Yeah.
But by grace, we're equal and joint heirs to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's go a little further. We who have been made accepted, much more then, being now justified by his blood. We are once unaccepted and now being justified. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen, sir.
And when it comes to the course of heaven, it's by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I understand there's a justification in which we're justified in the sight of men by the way we live. There's a point in which when we believe the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're justified in our conscience. But when it comes to heaven, before God, it's by the blood or we're not justified at all. Much more, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. Those who were at one time unwilling, Jesus has reconciled. So I love that past tense that you reconcile. It's not that he's trying to reconcile. It's not that he's trying to redeem. It's not that he's trying to ransom. It's he hath reconciled, he hath redeemed, he hath ransomed. You know, each one of those terms carry with it a sense of a limit. Did you know you can't teach redemption unless you teach particular redemption? You can't teach a reconciliation unless you teach a particular reconciliation. You can't teach a ransom unless you teach an election. That's why when you find someone that's out teaching, well, we can call a pan, black pan, someone that's involved in teaching Arminianism, they'll rarely drive home a text like redemption. Why? Because you're going to have to teach prior ownership. If you teach reconciliation, you've got to teach a prior relationship. If you teach a ransom, you've got to teach something particular. And if there's someone here in the congregation, if you just got a phone call that said, hey, I want $1 million for ransom, first thing you say is, for who? For who do you want a ransom? Do you just want me to give you $1 million just for everybody in the world? But what if they called you for someone in particular? Hey, we've kidnapped your son, we've kidnapped your daughter, we've kidnapped your wife. But when you pay that ransom, you're not paying a ransom for every wife. You're not paying a ransom for every son. You're not paying a ransom for every daughter. You're paying for someone in particular. And that's what Jesus did. He ransomed our soul from hell with his blood. Particular us, elect family of God.
Amen.
We, who are unwilling, now he hath reconciled. That's beautiful, isn't it?
Amen.
That's what we have in grace. But the Bible doesn't stop there. He's the God of all grace.
Yeah.
The Bible teaches us that he giveth more grace.
Yes.
And the Bible teaches us in John chapter 1, verse 16, that all his fullness we've received grace for grace.
Mm-hmm.
That's the friend of grace we have right now as children of God. Because in my life, I need his grace daily.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the hope I have in my heart that I belong to him and one day I'll be with him in glory. But here in my life, I need his providential grace. You think about a man in 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I'm not going to go into 2 Samuel chapter 11 because it's not going to be involved in this context. But a man named David, and he's got a son that's at the point of death. And that man wouldn't wash himself, wouldn't bathe himself, change his raiment, wouldn't eat. They brought him message, he died, he washed himself, changed his raiment. Well, because he understood this, that boy's not going to come back to me. One day I'll go to him. But then David's got a task. He's got a lady up here named Bathsheba, David's wife at that time. He's going to give her comfort concerning his death. It takes grace for a man to give consolation to someone that said goodbye to a loved one. And every minister of the gospel that goes into the pulpit, that handles a funeral service, he should pray that God will give him grace in that service. It'll take grace. I just think about a man named the Apostle Paul. Had 195 whip marks on his back, beaten with rods, stones, left outside the city for dead. He would say in Acts chapter 26, verse 22, he said, "Therefore, having obtained help from the Lord, I continue unto this day." What is he saying? By the providential grace of God in my life as a child of God, I've been able to continue unto this day. How many of you could say this morning, I can give glory not only to God for giving me the hope in my heart, but giving glory to God for his providential grace in my life?
Yes.
I think about a man named Elijah. Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19, he's at the point he just wants to destroy him. So I'm ready to die, Lord. God gives you news. You're going to anoint a king? And he said, I'm going to introduce you to a friend. Because you're going to anoint Elisha, a prophet, in your stead. Have you ever thought about the providential grace of God in your life? When you get to meet him like a brand new friend. Didn't know him before. All of a sudden, he's just in my life. You thank God for that. Have you ever felt just all alone? I don't have anyone that's really standing with me in the place I'm standing. And all of a sudden, you be a brand new person. I didn't know him before. And he's like, he has the same problems you have. He has the same opinion. He's got the same love that you have and the same desire. It's like, thank you, God. That's providential grace. That's the grace that God gives us right now.
Yeah.
As children of God. Do you need that? I need that. I need it right now.
Yes.
I heard a preacher the other day. He was saying in his congregation, he had several children in the congregation. He said, wow. He said, sometimes there's one or two that get extremely loud. He said, there's one that got so extremely loud one day. He said, if it hadn't been for the grace of God and that message, he said, I'd probably come out of the pulpit. And he said, after the service was over, I felt like giving him half the offering. Sometimes the man's in the pulpit, it requires grace in that pulpit.
Yes, sir.
That's why we ask prayer. It's funny, but it's the truth, but we should thank God daily he would hear those cries. I don't mind it at all. We need that grace. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, for I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me.
Yes,
yeah. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Could you say that today? By the grace of God. Could you say that I'm a deacon here at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, but by the grace of God in my life? Could you say as a member of Macedonia Church, could you say as a minister of the gospel, by the grace of God, I am what I am? Not only is saving grace, but it's daily providential grace.
Yeah.
Notice what the Apostle Paul would say using I am statements. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know what he's saying? By the grace of God, I'm a knowledgeable sinner. Everybody's a sinner. It's just some knowledgeable, some unknowledgeable. Right, Brother Sanders?
That's right.
He thanked God, I'm a knowledgeable sinner.
Yeah.
But he'd go further than that. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, he said, I am debtor, both the Greeks and the barbarians, both the wise and the unwise. He said, by the grace of God, I feel to be a debtor to the saints of God. You know, it takes the grace of God and the minister of the gospel's life for him to continue to feel to be a debtor to the family of God and the Lord. For what the Lord has done for him and for what he owes to God to serve God and to feed his people.
Amen.
A man that's a debtor, everything he has, it belongs to someone else.
That's right.
It's like the man who would reap Boaz's field and Boaz told him to get handfuls of purpose for Ruth. Everything they pull up either belongs to Boaz or Ruth. Nothing belongs to them. And it's always important for a minister of the gospel. God gives him something, immediately give it away. Why? It gives him room for God to give him something else.
Amen.
I'm debtor. Next verse says, for as much as in me is, I'm ready. It takes the grace of God for a man to be ready on Sunday morning. I know this for a fact. Because you have much opposition concerning that. It takes the grace of God for him to give you light in your study. Him to really give you a zeal for study. And sometimes it takes the grace of God to hedge you out from the troubles of this world that you can stay.
That's right.
Paul said, I'm ready. Next verse says, he said, I'm not ashamed of the grace of God. For it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. That's verse 16. Why should he be ashamed? The grace of God had revealed to him this, Romans 5:5. He said, hope maketh not ashamed. Romans 9:33, he that believeth shall not be ashamed. What does that mean, preacher? It means this. Several years ago, I was in high school, and there's a young boy's parents who were going to pick him up. They forgot about it. I looked over, and I saw the shame on his face. His parents let him down. And sometimes parents let you down. Sometimes children let you down. Sometimes preachers let you down. Sometimes brothers and sisters at the church let you down. Sometimes workplaces let you down. What Paul is saying is, hope maketh not ashamed. He that believeth shall not be ashamed. God's not going to let you down.
Right.
Put all the hope you want to in the Lord. He's not going to let you down. Believe all you want to. Put all your faith in Christ if you want to. He's not going to let you down. Believe me, I think we'll all be like Queen of Sheba. When we see it all, we say, the half was never told to me.
Yeah.
So why should he be ashamed? I'm not ashamed. Why shouldn't he be encouraged concerning the gospel? I heard my daddy say one time when he feels like he's filled with the Spirit, he said, I believe I can swing over hell with a rotten grapevine singing Amazing Grace. Blues, Brother Ricky Hargrove said, I believe I can take on the devil with a water pistol. I'm not ashamed. But we can go further than that. Apostle Paul would say in the Philippians 4:13, he said, not that I speak in respect of one, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. By the grace of God, he said, I'm content.
Yeah.
It takes grace for man to be content in this world.
Yeah.
As many temptations as we have. I heard a story once about a lady. She took her dad, he was raised on a farm, took him up to New York City, showed him all the big shopping centers and Saks Fifth Avenue, Jones, New York, all these big places up there. And my wife was freaking me out about what's there and what's not there. I don't know. I have no desire to go there. I'm just happy to be in Luton. Give me a place on the Chattahoochee River. Just a fishing pole with my son and my wife. I'm all right. But they said at the end of that day, she said, I walked by his bedroom and he was on his knees praying. And he said, I thank you, God. I ain't seen nothing the day I wanted. It takes grace for a man to be content. The Apostle Paul would say in 2 Timothy 4:6-7, he's now ready to be offered. He said, I'm now ready. It'll require that providential grace for a man to say that when he's old. But Peter teaches this in 1 Peter 1:13. We're going to probably end right here. He said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace shall be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Mm. You know what he's saying? Let's be diligent, and let's be busy in the service of God until we see that grace and hope in flowering. What we've enjoyed up to this point has really just been in part what we have in heaven. It's just a small part, a earnest of our inheritance. It's just like the small part that Rebecca got, that Eliezer put upon her, until she saw Isaac face to face. I'm looking forward to seeing my Isaac in the clouds one day. But until that day, I'll pray that God's providential grace, not only His grace, is give me this hope and faith, but I'll pray His providential grace would guide and direct and protect me all the days of my life that I may serve Him. May God richly bless you. That's our prayer.
Amen. 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 Amen.